wanted to play this theatre. I kid you not, I've always wanted to play here, and it is no disappointment when you get here, isn't it? Amazing. Beautiful, beautiful theatre. Great sound for us on the stage as well. And hopefully, great sound for you out front as well. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to say thank you to Roxanne and Bastian for an amazing session. It's great. It's so great. It's a privilege to have you around. Thank you. days up in London where I went to see a diverse set of gigs. One was Moulin Rouge. It was a charity event to raise money for the Teenage Cancer Trust. And then I went to see the ABBA Voyage thing down, you know, in London towards Stratford, where they built their own arena. And I don't know, has anyone been to see that yet? It is the most incredible show. I have to admit, I'm not a huge ABBA fan, because when I was in Manchester at Royal Northern College and I was studying piano there, I used to be in a covers band in a club at the top of Oxford Road, and played a lot of ABBA covers, and I think it just turned me. And I thought the show was amazing, you know, without giving it a lot away. It is amazing, it really is worth seeing. But they are their 20-year-old selves on the stage, and I don't know how it's done, it's just incredible. It really is like they're there. But obviously, they are not there. And I just wanted to reassure you that Nick, myself, and you are moving rather strangely there. That's what I was thinking. So I'm going to go back to the Dream into Action album now. This is a so-called specialty, and it's about uniqueness. It's about the fact that everybody is completely different and unique, and there's no need to compare ourselves with anyone else because there's no one the same. And, you know, everyone has got something unique to offer. I didn't think this could work as a acoustic number, but I was wrong.
I'll tell you, realize you are a special.
this is a song from the brand new album. It's called Dialogue. It's a very electronic album, but I really wanted to play one song with the trio. And the song, the perfect song, seemed to be Formed by the Stars, which is one of my favourites from the album. Although I do love them all, I love them all dearly. But this is I wrote this song because I'm always fascinated by the fact that the material of our bodies, the elements that go to make up our physical body, were formed inside stars, in the huge, massive heat of stars, and all those elements. And that's what we are, we're the product of that. And that makes me feel, I'm very excited about being connected to everything. So here it is, Formed by the Stars. go to this chateau in France a couple of times to write songs with complete strangers, and it was great. Some of the people I knew, some of the people, you know, were amazing songwriters that, you know, I wouldn't have heard of anyway. And so we were there in this castle, this chateau in the south of France. And every day we would put together with two other people to write a song. So in the morning you'd be writing with people. In the afternoon you'd be recording that song in one of the little demo studios around the castle. And then in the evening, play it to everyone. So it was pretty intense, but very enjoyable, really, because you know, you had to come up with the goods. And one of the songs I wrote was with a gentleman called Duncan Sheik, who's an American songwriter, a really good friend of mine. And we wrote this song called "Someone You Need," and it's a song about, you know, saying that I could be someone to really add something and benefit your life. And it's a kind of the most subtle and delicate song to want to be with somebody, but, you know, for the right reasons, you know. And so here it is. It's one of Nick's favourites, so I'm going to be playing it a lot.
Still, I know it all. I know every line. But
first album there is a song called Don't Always Look at the Rain. And, you know, I feel, I don't know what you feel like, but there's so much difficult stuff going on right in front of our eyes at the moment, and it's very difficult not to be like absolutely fixated on that. But I'm trying to remind myself that there are a lot of great things going on in the world as well. And so we don't always have to look in that direction. And, you know, I'm always trying to look for the silver lining and stuff. You know? I always feel there's something to be gained from every event. So this is a song called Don't Always Look at the Rain, as I said. And I'd like to do a little reference to Miles Davis in this piece, because I actually got to meet him once in this airport in America. I was on the way to a gig, was flying with the band, and he came up to me and started talking to me about my music. And I was so absolutely blown away that he actually knew about my music at all. And so, because I've always been a massive fan. And so, yeah, we're going to throw in a little reference to him as well. And watch out for Solo by Mr. Robin Dog.
Thank you.
Yeah, so one of the other shows I saw was Andrea Bocelli at the O2 Arena. That was really amazing. He was great. What I learned from him was this sort of sense of Italian relax that he had about the show. You know, the O2 Arena is big, isn't it? You know, 20,000 or whatever. But he made it feel like it was his front room, and you know, the pace of the show was really great. And actually, Nicole Scherzinger was joining him as a guest. And she was incredible. Her singing was just off the scale. But anyway, back to Andrea Bocelli. He was bringing on his family and his 9-year-old daughter and singing the song Herbs. Like, it was really great. So I'm just going to take a 10-minute break. So, this is Nick Bates. So Nick and I emerged from the pop swamp around the same time, beginning of the 80s. I remember hearing, you obviously know that he was in a band called Kershaw Cuckoo. So I heard this record on the radio, and it was fine. And it was absolutely amazing. I thought this is going to be a number one record all around the world, which it proved to be. And what's also hitting me, like, I thought it was amazing, was that there's a jazz bass solo in the middle of it, you know, and I really applauded that and thought, that's amazing. And of course, that was Nick on the bass, and Nick was a big songwriter in Kershaw Cuckoo. Anyway, but those were the days when haircuts and clothing were high priority values. I love those days. We had to make videos, didn't we? So, you know, we had to. And before that time, didn't have to worry about what it looked like so much. But, we were there making videos. So, yeah, and but I think that what's interesting is that in the fluff of all that, what was forgotten? The fact that it's really hard to write a number one record around the world. And this man did that, and so. we'd like to play you a song that I heard the first time. It's a song called Too Shy, I don't know if you know. We'd like to play it, but there's about a million reasons, well, one main reason why I can't play it. The next thing, on the phone to New York all day trying to get permission for us to play it because there's all kinds of legal wrangling going on around the song. And they said, well, look, if you do play it, you probably will be arrested by the Buxton police. But I said, you know what? I am totally prepared to take this. But do time, you know, in the local jail, as long as we can wear Gucci and Prada and balls on it. But Robin doesn't, he's not prepared to go to do time. All right, okay, so being as the police are in the audience, is it okay to do this song? I think so. said, you know, congratulations on the success of No One Is to Blame. And he said, I really love what Phil Collins did with that drum. Take it on the chin, boy, take it on the chin. I just, that kind of comment. It fires you up, isn't it? You know, to keep going. And one of the reasons why we're still here doing this after 40 years.
Another song I got to write at the
castle in France was with a lady called Jane Weakin, who you might know from the Go-Go's. She was an amazing songwriter and singer, and got to write a song with her, and she really, you know, got where I was coming from, and this new, the sort of song that I wanted to write. And we came up with this song called Tomorrow Is Now, and it's a song about, you know, what we do today is what happens tomorrow, you know, like, it's so important, it creates our future, what we do now. So, yeah, and we'd also like to dedicate this song to Kevin Wilkinson, who was the drummer in this, it's now a three-piece, but it was a four-piece at one time when we toured. And it's very difficult to work with other drummers after Kevin. Kevin Wilkinson was like a sort of genius drummer in a sort of league of Steve Gadd, I would say. He had like a producer's mind when he drummed, and so everything fitted beautifully. Everything was so tasteful and so in the groove, and we were so upset to lose him. So I'd like to remember him fondly as we play this. Tomorrow is now.
Like a dragon around like an elephant. Now you'll never be.
to take lyrics that I've already written for another song and then recompose music around it and add some extra lyrics and stuff like that. And it's, I did like sort of jumping off the cliff. You never quite know what's going to come out, but I'm going to inflict that upon you now. And so the song it's based on is a song called Everlasting Love, which was on the Cross That Line album. And so yeah, I'll start with the same key anyway.
Yeah.
saw a man called Elijah one day, and I almost got to play this song at Live Aid in 1985. I did actually get to play Hide and Seek, which was amazing. Privilege to be there and do that. And so I got to So the big highlight of that was being incredibly nervous. I mean, that's the biggest audience that probably anybody that was there played to and will ever play to. You know, around the world, 2 billion people were watching. So I was melting with anxiety. Anyway, got on, and when I got to the chorus, the whole family joined in with me, and it was just like, oh, it's flooding on air. That was amazing. But the other, my favourite story, though, of the day, was the song we didn't get to do. Because I brought over, I told you about my amazing backing singers, Aphrodisiac. They came over with me from America. We were touring there with a band, but wanted to perform in London rather than Philadelphia, and came back. And so we were going to do an a cappella version of the song we're going to play in a minute. Like in one day. So we were rehearsing it. The dressing room was a bit small, so we came outside the grass and started singing it. And two people came out of their dressing rooms to listen. Now there was 2 billion people watching on TV, and there was two people backstage listening to us do this rehearsal. And I think I might enjoy the two people backstage more, because one of them was David Bowie and the other one was Pete Townsend, and it was like, they just were like 2 minutes away. I mean, the girls were a bit upset, you know, they ran out of time, so we couldn't do it on the stage. But I did say, well, I know you didn't get to play to the 2 billion, but you got to play to two amazing artists. They weren't impressed, actually. They were a bit So we'd love to play it for you now, Life of One Day.
Sing your song, darling.
What's wrong with it? You know, it's a song about, you know, get to know each other, transcending cultures, transcending differences, and finding out what we have in common with each other. Countries. So anyway, we kind of ignored that. And went about our daily business. But 24 hours later, another call comes in from somebody very high up in the company, saying, how long have you been trying to get to know me? Well, ruin career. So that's good. At that point, I did take notice, because I didn't want that. I didn't want it to ruin my career. So we thought, well, what is the problem? We dug a little deeper. We found out that the translation that we had done into Japanese actually meant, I'd like to force myself upon you. which isn't the sentiment of the song at all. You can see how it would have... Well, no, I can't see it. No. The only thing it makes me think of is a dark version of the song that I won't be playing tonight. Anyway, the moral of the story is, you know, don't employ budget translation services anytime.
Oh,
song is called Things Can Only Get Better. There was somebody on my Twitter, that's the one I could pay most attention to, actually, because I can't cope with all the other social media platforms, I mean, but it's the one I sort of pay most attention to, so I can read every single one and I can reply if I want. But there was a guy on there saying, things can only get better, ? Really? I know what he means, you know, times we're in, wow. But, however, this song, it's specifically for its time, in a way, because, you know, I mean, I really believe, in the human beings, how amazing human beings are. You know, we can, if we made a mess, then we can put it right, we can fix it. But if we think that we're never going to fix it, then we won't. You know what I mean? It's like, human beings are amazing, and I just think this song says, well, if all goes down the toilet, we can fix it and we can make it better, and no matter what happens. And that's what the song's about. So join me in this one.
Let's reclaim to the world's
and it's a song that was very exciting to record. I was in the studio with Mr. Rupert Hine and Stephen W. Taylor. Rupert was my producer and passed away recently, and was a great lifelong friend and supporter of my music. He produced the first two albums, and so I remember the time we were in the studio at, and you know, recording this new song that had been released, and so it was grinding its way up the charts about two places that we, from a fantastic entry point of number 106, and then gradually climbed up the charts. But, and that was happening whilst we were making What Was Love, and we thought, well, this is great, because, you know, there's a chance that we might play What Is Love on the radio. And I was thinking, this could be good, this could be good. So that had all that energy. And then it also reminds me of What Is Love, in the end, got to number two, but it was number one in the north of England. And that was the... I know. So if you ever, you know, break away, we can revisit that chart for the show. And, so what is that? So it got to number two, but, and what was number one was Paul McCartney with the song called Lights of Peace. And so I don't mind being number two to Paul McCartney, you know, a little bit. So I never had a number one single like you did, but the album came with number one, so that was nobody really cares about charts in anymore. It's kind of irrelevant now, isn't it? It's like, it just doesn't. Even your grandma knew what was in the top 10 back in the 80s. It was great. Yeah, it's different, but, you know, exciting at the same time. Yeah, so I'd like to play this for you.
To buy tutor aid, and
at that moment I thought, you know, we could have been both killed that night. So there's no time to waste. You've got to do what you've got to do. You know, don't have a plan B. If there's something you really want to do, you've got to do it. And I had that attitude. And it took me to some good places, I've got to say. So thanks for sharing. But there's another part of it. You know how, like, when you've got, like, you're terrified and you've got adrenaline pumping through your body like crazy, you become like a sort of superhero. And so Jan was trapped under this van. I pulled up the van from the back. I mean, I'm not a strong person. But I managed to do that so that she could be pulled out from underneath. It was one of those crazy nights. The turning point. Anyway. Yeah, so don't crack up. Change your brain. See both sides. And throw off those notes.
Coming out soon.
So yeah, so I did get, this is the song I did get to do at Live Aid, and well, it's always going to be a special song to me. I did an interview once with this sort of group of people from a university in America, and they came to the house, and I really liked them, they're great. And one of the guy was doing the main interview with me, and he said, oh yeah, you know, when we were at high school, we used to study the lyrics of this song, Hide and Seek. And he said, I really love the line that goes, hope, you find it in everything. And I mean, I know this seems sounds weird, but I had never ever thought of that way of interpreting that line. I'd always thought of it as being, hope you find it in everything. Right? But hope you find it in everything is way better. And I it changed the whole way I think about the chorus now. I mean, because both exactly the same words, but different emphasis mean totally different things. So we'd like to play you the version that we did for the Perform album. I don't know if you've got that, but it was when we recorded live in the studio. Robin and Nick were involved, and Kevin Wilkinson, and brass sections, and all kinds of things. It was one of those magical recording sessions, and we did different versions of the songs, and we'd like to play you a slightly different version of Hide and Seek.
It's Thank you.